Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful and, as always, blessed to be with you this morning. Valerie and I are here to say good morning. Good morning, Mother. How are you today?
Good morning, Pastor. I'm doing fine.
What a day. It is another beautiful day, is it not?
Every day is
gorgeous
beautiful
outside.
When you wake up.
It is.
Amen.
The sun is shining. It's going to be in the 70s today. It's like, okay, God, you're just bringing us in this beautiful, beautiful day with God. And, you know, I was looking at the word, and what God gave me this morning is, oh, Most High, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. You know, because God has not given us a spirit of fear. But so many times we want to walk in fear instead of walk in faith. And we need to learn how to walk in faith, knowing that God will do what he said he will do. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. But we got to do what we're supposed to do. And that is whatever the Lord says do. So many times God will say go right, and we're like, oh, I'm going left. God will say go straight, and we're like, oh, I'm going to turn. You know, whatever, you know, just doing the opposite of what God says do. And I can speak on that because I was one of those people. The Lord said go right, and I went left and lost the car. I was like, okay, God, I understand that whatever you say do, because sometimes we can do so much that we mess up. And we don't want to mess up in this life. We want to do what God says to do. So, Mother, I am turning it over to you this morning to pray us in and to tell us that we are reading. I'll give everybody the word for today. God willing, we'll get through it all. If not, we'll work on it on Sunday. But today, we will be in 1 Samuel chapter 12 to chapter 15. God willing and time permits, we'll also be in the 56th Psalm, starting at verse 1 through the 57th Psalm to verse 3. We'll also be in Proverbs 15, starting at verse 21 through Proverbs 15, verse 25. And again, God permitting, we'll be in Luke chapter 22 through verse 71. And we'll be in the Luke 23 verses 1 through 25. And again, all God willing. But we're going to turn it over to Mother Valerie to get us through 1 Samuel chapter 12 through chapters 15. Mother Valerie, it is all yours. Pray us in. And family, again, thank you so very much for joining Mother Valerie and myself as we move forward in God's word. Woo, I'm excited. It's going to be a good word today. We're going to talk about that. What did the Lord say? To obey is better than sacrifice. So obedience is better than sacrifice. So we're going to see Saul make some mistakes. And when he makes the biggest mistake, he loses everything. Obeying God is better than any sacrifice you can give him. What God wants from us is obedience. Turn it over to you.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, children of God, and good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall trust in the Lord. Father God, I want to thank and praise you for who you are, and thank and praise you for this day. I want to thank and praise you for waking us up and help us, God. Help us to do your will. Keep us safe and enlarge our territory. Keep us from hurt and pain. In Jesus' name, Amen. I'm reading 1 Samuel 12:1, 13 and 23. Now Samuel said to all Israel, "Indeed, I've heeded your voice and all that you said to me, and made a king over you. And now here's the king walking before you, and I'm old, gray-headed. And look, my sons are with you. I have walked before you from my childhood to this day. Here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Or whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? Or from whose hands have I received any bribe with which to blind my eyes? I will restore it to you." And they said, "You have not cheated us or oppressed us, nor have you taken anything from any man's hand." Then he said to them, "The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day that you have not found anything in my hand." And they answered, "He is witness." Then Samuel said to the people, "It is the Lord who raised up Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers up from the land of Egypt. Now, therefore, stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and your fathers when Jacob had gone into Egypt. Fathers cried out to the Lord. Then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers out of Egypt, made them dwell in this place. When they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, commander of the army of Hazor, to the hand of the Philistines, to the hand of the king of Moab, fought against them. Then they cried out to the Lord and said, 'We have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord, served the Baal and the Astarts, but now deliver us from the hand of our enemies, and we will serve you.' And the Lord sent Jerubbaal, Bedan, Jether, Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwelt in safety. When you saw that Nahash, king of the Amorites, came against you, you said to me, 'No, but a king shall reign over us,' when the Lord your God was your king. Now, therefore, here is the king whom you have chosen and whom you have desired. Take note, the Lord has set a king over you. If you fear the Lord, serve him, obey his voice, do not rebel against the commandments of the Lord, then both you and the king who reigns over you will continue following the Lord, your God. However, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandments of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you, as it was against your fathers. Now, therefore, stand and see the great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is today not the wheat harvest? I'll call to the Lord, and he will send thunder and rain, but you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking a king for yourselves." So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. You know, they didn't reject Samuel. They had rejected the Lord. All the people said to Samuel, "Pray for your servants to the Lord, your God, that we may not die. For we have added to all our sins the evil of asking a king for ourselves." Then Samuel said to the people, "Do not fear. You have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn aside, then you will go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way. Only fear the Lord, serve him in truth and with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king." Saul reigned 1 year, Samuel 13. Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose for himself 3,000 men of Israel, 2,000 was with Saul in Michmash and the mountains of Belzer, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeon of Benjamin. The rest of the people he sent away, every man to his tent. Jonathan attacked the garrison of the Philistine that was in Gibeah, and the Philistines heard of that. Then Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." Now all of Israel heard it, said that Saul had attacked a garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel had also became an abomination to the Philistines. And the people were called together to Saul at Gibeah. Then the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people, as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. They came up and encamped in Michmash to the east of Beth-Aven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed, then the people hid in caves, in thickets, in rocks, and holes, and pits. Some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. Then he waited 7 days, according to the time set by Samuel. Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, "Bring a burnt offering, peace offering, here to me." And he offered the burnt offering. Nine happened as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering that Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might greet him. Samuel said, "What have you done?" Saul said, "When I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, 'The Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplications to the Lord.' Therefore I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, You've done foolishly. You have not kept the commandments of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. The Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. You have to do and obey God. Trust in the Lord. Lean not into your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. Saul offered burnt offerings, and he wasn't supposed to do that. He just went and did what he thought was right in his own sight. Then Samuel rose, went up from Gilead of Benjamin, and Saul numbered the people present with him, about 600 men. Saul, Jonathan, his son, and the people presented with them remained in Gibeah of Benjamin. But the Philistines encamped in Michmash. The raiders came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned onto the road to Ophir, to the land of Shaul. Another company turned to the road to Beth-Horon. And another company turned to the road of the border that overlooks the valley of Zebu toward the wilderness. Now there was no blacksmith to be found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, "Lest the Hebrews make swords or spears." But all the Israelites would go down to the Philistines to sharpen each man's plowshare, his mattock, his ox, and his sickle. And the charge for sharpening was the pins for the plowshares, the mattocks, the forks, and the oxes, and to set the points of the guard. So it came about on the day of the battle that there was nothing, neither sword nor spear, found in the hand of any of the people who were with Saul and Jonathan. But they were found with Saul and Jonathan, his son. Garrisons of the Philistines went out to the pass of Michmash. Samuel 14. Now it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the Philistine garrison that is on the other side." But he did not tell his father. Saul was sitting in the outskirts of Gibeah on the apocryphal tree, which is in Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men. Ajax, the son of Attitude, Ichabod, brother, the son of the Phinehas, the son of Eliab, the Lord's priest, and Shiloh was wearing an ephod. But the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. Between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistine garrison There was a sharp rock on one side, sharp rock on the other side, and the name of the one was Bozi. Name of the other was Enoch. The front of one faced northward, opposite Michmash, and the other southward, opposite Gibeon. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison where these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. So his armor bearer said to him, do all this in your heart. Go then, here I'm with you, according to your heart. Jonathan said, very well, let us cross over to these men, and we will show ourselves to them. If they say thus to us, wait until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say to us thus, come up to us, then we will go up. For the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us. So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. Philistines says, look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden. The men of the garrison called to Jonathan, his armor bearer, and said, come up to us, and we will show you something. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan. And as he came after him, his armor bearer killed them. The first slaughter with Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within about half an acre of land. They were trembling in the camp in the field among all the people. The garrison and the raiders also trembled. Earthquake, so that it was a very great trembling. Now the watchmen of Saul and Gibeon of Benjamin looked, and there was the multitude melting away, and they went here and there. And Saul said to the people who were with him, now call the roll. Who has gone from us? And when they had called the roll, surprisingly, Jonathan and his armor bearer was not there. Saul said to Ajax, bring the ark of God here. For all that time, the ark of God was with the children of Israel. Now it happened, while Saul talked to the priest, that the noise which was in the camp of the Philistines continued to increase. Saul said to the priest, withdraw your hand. Then Saul and all the people who were with him assembled, and they went to the battle. And indeed, every man's sword was against his neighbor, and there was very great confusion. Moreover, the Hebrews who were with the Philistines before that time who went up with him into the camp from the surrounding country, they also joined the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel who had hidden in the mountains of Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, they also followed hard after them in battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle shifted to Beth-Aven. Men of Israel were distressed that day. Saul had placed the people under oath, saying, cursed is any man who eats any food in the evening before I have taken vengeance on my enemy. None of the people taste food. Now all the people of the land came to the forest. There was honey on the ground, and the people were coming to the woods. There was honey dripping. No one put his hand to his mouth. People feared the oath. But Jonathan had not heard his father's charge that the people with the oath. Therefore, he stretched out the end of the rod that was in his hand, dipped it in the honeycomb, put his hand to his mouth, and his countenance brightened. Then one of the people said, your father strictly charged the people with an oath, saying, curse is the man who eats food this day. And the people were faint. Jonathan said, my father has troubled the land. Look now how my conscience has brightened, because I taste the word of this honey. How much better if the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies, which they found. For now, would there not have been a much greater slaughter among the Philistines? Now they have driven back the Philistines that day from Michmash to Ajalon. So the people were very faint. People rushed on the spoil, took oxen, sheep, calves, and slaughtered them on the ground, and the people ate them with the blood. Then they told Saul, saying, Look, the people are sinning against the Lord by eating with the blood. That's a sin before God. You can't eat meat dripping with blood. Even to this day, you can't do it.
I suppose
he
to.
Said, look, I mean, that's sinning against God. And a lot of people
but
who
I understand.
State,
rare,
and be running
my
out
mother.
Of steaks and things like that, and they
you
eat
know what,
that.
Mother, one of the things that I heard you were reading that I thought that, you know, what you said, that they're not supposed to want them rare steaks, blood dripping all over everywhere. But the thing is that the reason some of these men were, they were so starved because Saul had made them take this oath that was just stupid. I mean, he did a lot of things that were just, you're like, why did you do that? You know, you're supposed to be the king, but you're making mistakes that are detriment to your people. And he made, you know, how many different mistakes besides sacrificing when he wasn't supposed to? Then he tells them, oh, you can't eat. You got to fast. Get ready to go into battle. Like, things that are common sense, he didn't use his common sense at all. And so it hurt his people. And the reason they started eating like they had lost their mind was because they were starving.
They were.
Jonathan just kind of looked at his dad probably like, I don't believe you. You're going to have these people starving and wondering why they're tired. They haven't eaten.
Amen.
You have to eat something or drink water or do something to keep yourself built up. Because if you don't, you're going to, one, when you finally do eat like you lost your mind because you're hungry. So anyway, I'm giving it back over to you, Mother. But that's what really bothered me. It's like this man, just one thing after another, just lost it and didn't follow anything that Samuel told him to do.
Amen. Amen. But even today, like you were saying, people will go to the restaurant, and I think it's because they don't really know that they ask for a steak with the blood running, and they don't know the Bible. I think they just ignorant
true.
Of God's word, and they do that. Is it, look, the people are sinning against the Lord by eating with the blood. So he said, you have dealt treacherously. Roll a large stone to me this day. Then Saul said, disperse yourself among the people, save them. Bring me here every man's ox and every man's sheep. Slaughter them here and eat. And do not sin against the Lord by eating with the blood. So every one of the people brought his ox with him that night, slaughtered it there. Then Saul built an altar to the Lord. This was the first altar that he built to the Lord. And Saul said, let us go down after the Philistines by night, plunder them into morning light, and let us not leave a man of them. And they said, do whatever seems good to you. Then the priest said, let us draw near to God here. So Saul asked counsel of God, shall I go down after the Philistines? Will you deliver them into the hand of Israel? But he did not answer him that day. And Saul said, come over here, all you chief of the people, and know and see what this sin was today. For as the Lord lives, who saves Israel, through it be Jonathan my son, he shall surely die. But not a man among all the people answered him. Then he said to all Israel, you be on one side, and my son Jonathan, I'll be on the other side. And the people said to Saul, do what seems good to you. Therefore Saul said to the Lord, God of Israel, give a perfect lot. So Saul and Jonathan was taken. But the people escaped. Saul said, cast lots between my son Jonathan and me. So Jonathan was taken. Then Saul said to Jonathan, tell me, what have you done? Jonathan told him and said, I have only tasted a little honey with the end of the rod that was in my hand. So now I must die? Saul answered, God do so and more also, for you shall surely die, Jonathan. But the people said to Saul, shall Jonathan die, who has accomplished this great deliverance in Israel? Certainly not. As the Lord lives, not one hair of his head shall fall to the ground, for he has worked with God this day. So the people rescued Jonathan. He did not die. Number 15, Samuel also said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, and how he ambushed him on the way when he camped up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek. Utterly destroy all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both men, women, infant, nursing child, ox, sheep, camel, and donkey. Saul gathered the people together, numbered them, and taken in 200,000 foot soldiers, 10,000 men of Judah. Saul came to the city of Amalek, laid in wait in the valley. And Saul said to the Kenites, go, depart, get from among the Amalekites. These I destroy you with him. And you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Hivah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Saul said, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, oxen, the fatling, lamb, all that was good, and was unwilling to utterly destroy them, but everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me, has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and there he set up a monument for himself, and he has gone on the round, passed by, gone down to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. Well, he knew that he was lying because he saved Agag, the king, and the good stuff. He didn't do what God told him to do. But Samuel said, what then is this bleeding of the sheep in my ears, lowing of the oxen which I hear? Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, so the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. So he blamed it on the people. Then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. Said to him, speak on. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? Did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites. Fight against them until they are consumed. Why did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you snoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of the Amalekites. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but the people. Also, he didn't want to take responsibility. He did not trust in the Lord, and he did not obey the Lord. He's blaming it on the people. But the people took up the plunder, sheep and the oxen, and the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God. He's saying, it's the Lord your God, not my God. And he's blaming things on the people. He's doing the blame game. He will not accept responsibility for what he did to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilead. My goodness. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. Okay, now he's accepting responsibility for what he did. He knew he didn't do right. He didn't trust in God. He didn't obey the voice of God. Then Saul said to Samuel, I've sinned, for I have transgressed the commandments of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. He obeyed the people than rather than they obey God.
Mother,
see, that's big.
Mother, go back up can you go back up to verse 22 and read down through verse 23? Because that's is really a really big thing that Samuel said to Saul. You know, so if you could read verse 22 and 23 and then 24, because Saul was just something else. He was just disobedient all the way around. And blame it is just like you said, everybody but himself. It was the people's fault. They didn't do it. I did what I was supposed to do, but the people didn't do what they were supposed to do. You know, and I love that when you went over there, you tell me, tell them, be quiet. Samuel was sick and tired of being sick and tired. Be quiet. And I thought that, I was like, okay, go on, Samuel. Don't mess with a man of God, because he's going to tell you about yourself. And Samuel about to show out over here. But if you don't mind reading what Samuel said to Saul in verse 22.
It says, I'm going to start at 21. But the people took up the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, sacrifice the Lord your God in Gilead. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, you know something? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. God wants us to obey him. I don't care. He don't care about you giving him an offering. You can bring the biggest offering, $1 million. It's better to obey. If it has the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. We should obey God. We don't need to keep on doing all of this stuff, but obey God. But look what Saul did. He played the blame game. I obeyed the voice of the people. That's just like with God's people. What they said was, shall we obey the king or shall we obey God? You obey God. I don't care what. Obey God. He's going to listen to the people, but Saul was afraid of the people. He looked at them, and they wanted all the loot. And they thought, well, we're going to take all this, and we're going to keep old King Agag, and we're going to do what we're going to do. And he listened, and he's the king. Now, he have the rule over the people, but instead of ruling over the people, he listened to what they said. He listened to the people. Okay.
And did listen to God. Yes, ma'am.
That's what I'm saying.
Verse 23.
For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is as an iniquity and adultery. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. I mean, he lost everything by listening to the people. God rejected him because he did not obey. He kept old Agag alive. God told him to kill everything, women, infants, children, oxen, sheep, donkey. He told him to kill everything. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I've transgressed the commandments of the Lord and your word because I feared the people and obeyed their voice and not God. I mean, God, he didn't obey God. He rather obeyed the people. My Lord and my Lord. Now, therefore, please pardon my sin, return with me that I may worship the Lord. Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord. Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned around to go away, Saul seized the edge of his robe and tore it. And it tore. And Samuel said to him, Lord has tore the kingdom of Israel from you today, giving it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. And also the strength of Israel would not lie nor relent. For he's not a man that he should relent. It goes back to he's not a man. God's not a man that he should relent or lie. When God stated something, it's going to happen. So old Saul didn't trust in the Lord. He didn't. He trusted in the people. And he knew God. I mean, he knew God said, when you were little in your own sight, didn't I make you king? You're the king. And they would have listened to him, but he didn't. He didn't trust. He didn't trust in God. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, please, before the elders of my people, before Israel, return with me, that I may worship the Lord, your God. He didn't even call God his God anymore. He said that I may worship the Lord, your God. Samuel turned back after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then Samuel said, bring Ahab, king of the Amalekites, here to me. So Ahab came to him curiously. Ahab said, surely the business of death is past. Samuel said, as your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women. Samuel hacked Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilead. You know, Samuel was strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He trusted in the Lord, and he took a sword. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really something. Took a sword and hacked the king in pieces. Killed him. Because Samuel said, I'm going to do what the Lord said do. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house in Gibeah of Saul. Samuel went no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul. And the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. I mean, that's amazing. God regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. It's a sad thing when God regrets that he had put you in position. And he said, I'm going to get a man after my own heart. And later on, you're going to find out that that was David. I mean, this is amazing that the king would honor the people. He would honor the people. And he didn't trust in
Lord God.
Trusted in what the people. The people said, oh, no. We're going to keep the good. We're going to keep the loot. This stuff is good. But we're not going to destroy the good stuff. We're going to keep it for ourselves. And we're going to keep that King Ahab. We're not going to kill him. But they didn't do what God said to do. And that's amazing. I mean, we have to do what God tells us to do, regardless of what. We have to do what God tells us to do. Okay, I'm going to turn this back over to the pastor. I mean, this is a good
Amen.
Lesson. Amen. It teaches you, trust in the Lord. Lean not into
That's
your
right.
own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge God. He'll tell you what to do. Go to the throne, not to the phone. Go to God.
Preach it. Go
in
to
Jesus'
God.
Name. Amen.
Amen. Wonderful word, Mother. Thank you so much. And, you know, we did have some life lessons that, you know, we will hit on Sunday. But, you know, just to get into at least this psalm today, because this is where our title comes from this morning. And it is the 56th psalm, you know, because as we all know, you know, Saul went through some stuff. He trusted everything and everybody but God. And David, totally the opposite. And it says, to the chief musician, set to the silence of in distant lands, a mikmas of David when the Philistines captured him in Gath. David went through, but he trusted God, and he said, be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me.
My enemies will hound me all day, but there are many who fight against me. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. We got to trust God. As you know, our kids sing a song by Anthony Brown in group therapy, I will trust in you. And that's what we have to do. We got to trust in God. You know, you did not create me to worry. You did not create me to fear. But you created me to worship. And I'm going to leave it all right here. I will trust in you. And that's what we got to do. We got to trust in God, because God is the one that's in charge of everything. And it says all day, it says, in God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what can flesh do to me. Totally the opposite. He's worried about what flesh can do to him and not what God can do. And David is totally opposite, saying, what can flesh do to me when I'm trusting in God? And he said, all day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together. They hide. They mark my steps. When they lie in wait for my life, shall they escape by iniquity and anger cast down the people? Oh, God, you number my wandering. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, when my enemies will turn back, this I know, because God is for me. In God I will praise his word. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Come on now. And I want you to see something. He said, in God I will praise his word. In the Lord,
amen,
I will praise his word. In God, God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's always been there. Just ask. Remember, Jesus asked, he said, David said, my Lord, so how can I be his Lord and he be my Father? Y'all caught that? Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus used to pull it out, and folks never caught what he was saying. Jesus was letting you know, I was with David. Yes, I'm in his lineage by flesh, but I've always been with him in spirit. I've always been there with God. I've always been there with David, and I'm here with you in the flesh. Always been with David. And David acknowledged him. Even back then, David acknowledged Jesus. He said, in God, I will praise his word. The Lord, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Totally, again, the opposite of Saul, worrying about what men can do to him and not what God can do. Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? David's like, hey, I just want y'all to know who my daddy is, who God is. I'm a friend of God. I know who he is. I know my father. I know my Lord. I know that I am anointed by God. And then it goes into the 57th Psalm. To the chief musician said to do not destroy, a victim of David when he fled from Saul from into the cave. And he said, be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me. For my soul, again, there it is, trust in you. And in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. I will cry out to God Most High, God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy, his truth. David never gave up on God. Even when he messed up, David was quick to repent
and ask forgiveness. We got to be quick to repent and ask forgiveness because God wants us the best we can be, and he wants us to trust in him. All through the word this morning, Saul forgot the key ingredient to his kingship, trusting in God. He kept wanting to trust everybody but God to
Amen.
The point where
Amen.
He thought he was doing what God said do when he told his people, oh, don't eat, we're going to fast. And then go want to kill his son who saved all of them behind through God. Jonathan, think about this. Before Jonathan went up to that garrison, did he not pray? Did he
Amen.
Not say, this is what God said. If this happens, we go. If this happens, we don't. Say that. He trusted God. Jonathan trusted God more than Saul did. And what happened? The one that trusted God got the glory. And his daddy go get upset. Come on. Did I say that we weren't supposed to eat? And Jonathan looking at him like, you must be some kind of crazy. Why would you have your men tired and hungry trying to fight somebody?
My Lord.
Why would you do that? Didn't trust God. Again, too busy trying to look at everybody else, trusting the people, but not trusting God. Well, they said that we need to do this. Who's the king? Who's supposed to be on his knees?
Amen.
He's supposed to be asking God for guidance. He's not supposed to do anything without talking to God first. This morning, I had to say, got to tell yourself. You know, I saw this cute little T-shirt because I get stuff from Love and Faith. And Love Faith T-shirts, I love them. You know, they all have such beautiful sayings on them. I thought, I'm like, well, I'm going to get this T-shirt. And then I thought, oh, Lord, I'm about to break my fast. So I politely closed that and went on about my business. I was like, the devil, I'm talking about trusting God. And the devil's going to try to tempt you right there. Well, you know the shirt is a godly shirt. Well, you know that shirt does have, a really nice saying on it. Don't you think you need to really go on and get it? It's all right. No, it's not. It was not all right. I closed that window real quick. And I have to admit, the shirt was cute. And it had a great saying on it. It was scriptural. And I'm like, ooh, that's cute. You know, I think I'd get that for Mother's Day. And then I thought, no, you won't be getting that for Mother's Day. Because you know good and well, you said to God that you're going to still fast. So why are you not fasting? Why are you getting ready to buy something that you're not supposed to get? And, you know, and it was, you know, it's because I used to do the women's ministry. And it was a T-shirt that had all the women of the Bible on it. I was like, ooh, that just got my name on it. No, it don't. It does not have my name on it. It is not for me to buy. And I politely had to close that little book. Like, nope, sorry, not for you, dear. I know it's cute. I know it's unique. But not until you get finished with your fast do you get to look at anything. And right now, you still got a whole bunch to do before you get off this fast. So needless to say, my Women of the Bible T-shirt was me staying at Love and Faith. It will not be coming to my house because I'm going to trust God. And this is what it says. And I'll write up in my, as it says, God will get all in your business. In the word, and in the word on Proverbs 15, verse 20 said, folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment. I was like, okay, then you not only go tell me, you're going against the fast, even though that little voice is saying, I'll go get it. It's all right. It's no big deal. Wrong. It is not all right. And it is a big deal when I made a promise to God. And then it's
Amen.
And then God going to give you in the word. You know, God always gives you a word. Folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment. Folly. Oh, yeah. I'm getting this T-shirt. Uh-oh. That's a discernment issue. When you say, I'm not going to do X, Y, Z, you can't do X, Y, Z. And it says,
But a man of understanding walks uprightly. Come on now. Who out counsel plans go weary. But multitude of counselors, they are established. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth. And a word spoken in due season, how good it is. You got to stop yourself. Because so many times the enemy will plant that little seed. And you just like, oh, okay, I'll follow after. No, we got to learn how to tell the devil, no, not today, Satan. Keep it moving. I am not doing that. You know, go on with yourself because you're just trying to start mess. You know, we can't be like Saul and do it what we want to do. We got to do what thus says the Lord. And then we, as we continue, it says the way of life winds upward for the wise, and he may turn away from hell below. I don't want to go to hell. You know what we say? A vow made to God is a vow you better keep. It says the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Come on now. But he will establish the boundary of the widow. Widow girl. I'm a widow. And I tell you, he will establish the boundary of the widow. And I'm like, Lord, I follow you. God is my husband. And I'm going to follow after him. Hallelujah. We got to learn how to listen to the voice of God and not go on our own. As Mother said, you know, our proverb, you know, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. God directs us. All we have to do is listen. And, you know, I'm going to go back over, Mother, some of these life lessons. Because they are right on point today. And it says, whom have I cheated? In chapter 12, verse 3, and it says, integrity. We got to have integrity. The consuming desire to acknowledge and obey the Father in conjunction with a readiness to confess and repent of sin testifies to our private and public behavior. Integrity leaves no ground for accusation. We got to have integrity. And when it goes into 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 21, do not turn aside for them, then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. Whole bunch of stuff. Nothing. Because you cannot take it with you, Mother. We can't take all the stitch of clothes, all the shoes. The houses or whatever, all these billionaires and millionaires and trillionaires almost, they got all this stuff. Not one iota of all that stuff can take it.
Amen.
They cannot take it with them. All the Michael Jackson, almost a billionaire, couldn't take it with him. Got all of that catalog from Sony Music. And what happened? He got sold back to him. And all that work he did was for naught because he was dead and couldn't take it with him, right? All your
stuff
you cannot take. You know, just like my Women of the Bible t-shirt that I was about to break my fast and get. What is it? But more stuff to have to put away. More stuff to have to deal with. What did I gain? Absolutely nothing. God is giving us common sense. And what he wants for us to understand is obedience is better than sacrifice. And when we are afraid, we got to trust him. When we're not in fear, we got to trust him. When we just walking down the street, we got to trust him that we're not going to fall in a man up. When we dropped yesterday, I was on my way to work. I have a, what I guess you call it, a safe car that lets you know if a vehicle is close to you, it will brake you even if, like, if you get ready to back into something, it'll put on the brake. If you get ready to go into something, it'll put on the brake. And if something is coming too close to you, it will beep to let you know. And my car went crazy because this car was coming over on me and luckily turn lane beside me. So I moved over into the turn lane, and they just came on into my lane and drove on down the street like they hadn't done anything. And we get to a stoplight,
And I'm sorry, I was giving that car some stink eye. Because the only thing I could say, Lord have mercy. That's all I could say when this car could start coming toward me, was moving over, Lord have mercy. And the
My
Lord
God.
Had mercy and did not. I did not get hit. But the car beside me, the guy looks at me and I look at him, and we both put our hands up like, really? Did this guy just do this? The guy looked at me like, he just did that. And I'm looking at him like, yeah, he did. Because it was like no concern for anybody on the road but himself. Just come on over. And I thought, you didn't even look to see that there was another car in the lane that you was about to hit.
My God.
If I hadn't had discernment and God, I would have had an accident yesterday.
Jesus.
You got to understand, God is always in the midst. He is always watching over us. He is always taking care of us. You know, it's like, come on. We got to be careful. And we got to be discernment, have discernment, and have trust in God. So I thank God for this mighty, mighty word this morning. This was a great word. Thank you, Mother. You know, talking about trust. Paul forgot to trust God. He forgot who was in charge of his life. His thing and not what God did do. And that's where, you know, we all can mess up when we forget who's in charge. And I love this word for this morning for our prayer. Within the walls, it says, peace be within your walls and security within your towers. Mighty one, you are my strong tower, the one I run to for refuge in times of trouble. You keep me settled with peace as the atmosphere within my home. I invite you into the dwelling of my heart. Keep me safe and secure, wrapped in the warmth of your mighty love. I know that there is no need to fear, but you are with me. You are the defender of my soul. Nothing can destroy my heart with you as its guard. When storms are raging around me, I will experience your rest. I will sleep peacefully knowing I am taken care of. I trust, there's that word, I trust that your keen eye sees everything that would dare sneak into the camp of my heart. Keep me alert as I rest in you. I know that even when an enemy comes into the camp, I have everything I need to confidently deal with it. You are with me, my peace giver, that your love brings. Hallelujah. When is the last time you felt peace in the middle of chaos? Wow. God is always there letting us trust him. Trust God today. Ask God to be with you. When you're walking in fear, say, God, I give it all to you. I will not be afraid because you are with me, God. And as Sister Carolyn so easily says, it's easy to get discouraged when it feels like things are not going right. Trust God. There is that word again. Trust God. He has your back. Have a blessed and favored Friday. I got to read it again. All up in the lesson this morning. It's easy to get discouraged when it feels like things are not going right. Trust God. He has your back. Have a blessed and favored Friday. God gave us the word this morning. Almighty God, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. And we got to trust in him even when we're not afraid. We got to trust in him even when we're discouraged, trust in him. Even when things are not going our way, trust in him. Even when you're afraid, trust in him. Even in the midnight hour and you heard a sound, trust in him. Trust God in all things. Trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, everything, every part of you, acknowledge him and allow God to direct your path. Have a blessed day, family. Mother, have a blessed day. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for taking over and reading this morning. Everybody, we'll be back again, or I'll be back again on Sunday. Mother, rest on Sunday. and we'll both be back with you on Monday. So come join me Sunday morning. Pray for me because I'm working on a sermon that God will give me what I need to say. So thank you so much, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day in the Lord. I've got to go to work. So I will see you another day. Mother, have a wonderful day. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over all of you. May God watch over you. May God keep you. May God let his light shine upon you and give you peace. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. It's a wrap, Mother.
It is a wrap. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Have a blessed day.